Listening section 2. In a moment, you are going to hear an informative talk being given to a group of tourists before they are to enter Stonehenge Park in England. The talk is to be given by Mr. Aaron Albright, the curator of Stonehenge Museum.
Hello, and good day to everyone here. My name is Aaron Albright, and I am the curator of the Stonehenge Museum. I want to thank you all for coming out to see us on this unusually beautiful afternoon. Before your tour of Stonehenge, please allow me to give you a short talk on the history of one of the most mysterious places on earth. However, before I begin my talk, I will give a brief explanation of the grounds of the park, including the location of the restrooms, one of the least mysterious places on earth. Before I start, let me introduce your tour guides, Eve Eaton and David Davids. Eve and David will accompany you up the small hill to Stonehenge, where they will stay with you in the event you may need some assistance. Eve is standing toward the back, on the left side with that group of people. She's the tall young woman with the short, wavy hair. She's wearing a t-shirt and slacks. Eve is a graduate student at Fuller University. She is working on her master's degree in the study of the area we now call England during the prehistoric period. She is very knowledgeable on the subject of Stonehenge and would be delighted to answer any questions you might have. Also standing with that same group of people is David Davids. But, as he will be sure to tell you, please call him Dave. He's wearing a sweater, jeans and trainers. He has short dark hair and wears glasses. Dave is a student at Salisbury University, majoring in archaeology. He too would be glad to answer questions. Now I will tell you about the park's facilities. Here, on only 4 hectares of meadowland, are 6 buildings, in addition to Stonehenge. First, this grey brick building behind me is the snack shop. Tea, coffee, soda, and light snacks can be bought there. The 2-story building to the right of the snack shop is my home away from home, the museum. I hope everyone will come round and visit before they leave. To the left of the snack shop is another grey brick building. There you may wish to purchase souvenirs and gift items, such as t-shirts, models, and keychains. Located in front of me and behind you is the car park. On the left-hand side of the car park are the restrooms, and to the right are the payphones. Finally, behind both the snack shop and me, up the hill, is Stonehenge. More than 4,000 years ago, the people of the Neolithic period decided to build a massive monument using dirt, wood, and later, stones. placing it high here on the Salisbury Plain in Wiltshire, England. About 137 kilometres southwest of London. Why Stonehenge was built still remains a mystery, with theories ranging from religion to astronomy. Some of what was Stonehenge still stands today, as mysterious and sacred as it must have been to the hundreds of people who helped build it. The stones of the main monument appear to form layers of circles and partial circles that surround the site. First, there is an outer circle, which is now mostly in ruin. Within this larger circle are smaller stones, also set in circle formation. Within the centre of the monument are trilithons. A trilithon is the name given to two tall stones standing side by side with one stone on top. Inside the set of trilithons is another set of smaller stones. Stonehenge was constructed in three phases, between 3000 and 1400 BC. Erosion, time, and human invasion have worn it down, leaving many stones in stumps similar to baby teeth. Although the site may not be as majestic as it once was, it still conveys a sense of power that seems to enclose people in its mystery, but not allowing anyone to finally understand what its purpose may have been. Today, there is still enough left of Stonehenge to try to guess about its purpose, but not enough left to be sure of why or how it was constructed. Astronomers, archaeologists, and historians all enjoy debating theories on its construction and purpose. By the way, another interesting fact is that the stones were brought from far distances to Salisbury Plain, using only muscle and primitive tools, like ropes and wooden levers. Some of the stones are thought to have been brought from Marlborough Downs, 30 kilometres to the north of Stonehenge, which is a feat incomparable by today's standards. But even more interesting is the mystery of the so-called blue stones. The blue stones are a set of 10 stones that have a special colour. They are believed to have come from the Preseli Mountains in southwest Wales, nearly 385 kilometres away. How these stones, each weighing 4 tons, arrived at Stonehenge is still debated. But regardless of how the stones came to the site, it would have required much effort, because at that time, the wheel had not yet been invented. Clearly, a lot of trouble was taken